Good morning.
Good morning.
When Eugene first asked me to give this message, it was the day that I learned about the Las Vegas shootings. And many of you know that that's where I'm from. Las Vegas is my hometown. So it hit pretty close to home when I heard that, and I still have family there. My last visit there was in 2016. So as I kind of looked and researched for a topic to use this morning, this is what God kind of put before me, the scripture that Bob just read. And the current state that our country is in, this is the particular scripture that just spoke to me, and so I built from there. So if you will join me in a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, I ask that this message be received in the hearts of those listening. I pray that my words have meaning and represent you. I pray also that hearts will know that you are not just my comforter, but the comforting presence to all. Thank you, Lord, for always being there, always knowing when we need you. We love you in good times and in bad. Thank you for loving us as you do, always and forever. Amen. One day, the Apostle Paul looked out upon life, and he thought about all the problems that we have. He thought about all the troubles that we go through, and he thought about all the burdens that we bear. And then he said, "Who is sufficient for these things?" There's only one answer to this question. No human being, no matter how great they are, can meet our every need in life. But there is one who can meet our every need, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's an adequate, capital A, and all-sufficient Savior. He can meet our every need in life. In him and with his help, we can face life and all of its problems. In Philippians 4:13, it says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Our text today takes place just after Jesus has fed the 5,000. He had proven that he could meet man's physical needs. Now the crowds began to gather around him. They cared nothing about him, but just for what he could do for them. They were not interested in him as a savior. They simply wanted something for nothing. So Jesus preached a sermon to them, a sermon in which he appealed for them to surrender their lives, a sermon in which he demanded that they give instead of receive. They were willing to follow him as long as he was feeding them and requiring nothing in return. But when he began to tell them what would be required and expected of them if they continued to follow him, the great crowd turned away and went back to the world. Sadly, it's the same in the world that we live in today. Let a pastor preach about the free grace of God. Let him tell of all that a man receives as Christian. Let him tell of the heaven and the joy in the by and by. And men will follow him and call him a great preacher. But let him call upon people to forsake the world and follow Jesus. Let him ask for money for the work of the gospel. And let him ask them to go out to witness for Christ, and the majority will turn their backs and walk away. It is easy for some people to say amen when the pastor speaks about what Christ gives us, but they are strangely silent when he speaks of what we should give Jesus. Yes, as the crowd began to leave, Jesus sadly turned to his disciples and he said, "Will you also go away?" And bold Peter, who often says the wrong things, said the right thing this time. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." There are many different kinds of people in the world, the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the highly educated and those that are experienced in life, the survivors and the strivers, but fundamentally they're all alike and have the same three basic needs: forgiveness for our past, strength and guidance for our present life, and hope for our future. Forgiveness. As we look over our past, we can all see that we have sinned along the way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If nothing's done about our sin, we would forever be separated from the presence of God. Sin is like a great rock tied around our necks, pulling us down. Only Jesus can cut the rope that is pulling us down. Only Jesus can rescue us from destruction and death. Sin is like a haze between us and God. Only Jesus can clear out that haze and enable us to clearly see the face of God. Jesus was in Capernaum, preaching in a certain house, where four men went out and brought a sick man and placed him before Jesus. Jesus said to the sick man, "Your sins are forgiven." The crowd began to murmur, and someone shouted, "That's blasphemy! Only God can do that! Only God can forgive sin!" But Jesus was God in the flesh, and the power to forgive sin was invested in him. To prove this point, he healed the man and sent him on his way. This church cannot forgive sin. The pastor cannot forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin, and Jesus was God in the flesh. John tells us that only the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, can cleanse us from all sin. And because of that cleansing, we are able to reign with God and Jesus in heaven. Jesus' blood was sufficient enough for all of us. Jesus is all that we need. Some people go to fortune tellers for guidance. Some call the psychic network. Some check the horoscopes, and some consult with their friends. Now, we're all human, and no human being can give us perfect guidance. No one knows what tomorrow may bring, and no one can look into the future. But the Bible tells us where to seek guidance. James 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Jesus knows our past, our present, and our future. There's no uncertainty in him. He sees from the beginning to the end. Nothing will ever come upon us that is not already known to him. And because he knows all about us, he can help us. Before a person is converted, he has temptation on every side, together with sorrow and heartaches. After accepting Jesus into your heart and life, you may still have these things, but there's a difference now. Before accepting Jesus into your heart, you were alone as you faced these things. After accepting Jesus, you have someone to help you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all that you need. Whatever you need today, Jesus is ready to supply it. Jesus is alive, he is real. He can help us when life's problems become too complex and life's burdens just seem too heavy. Let me be clear. Many people think that because they have Jesus in their life, that there'll never be any heartache or grief or difficult situations that come along. Nothing anywhere says that. What it says is, he will never leave us or forsake us. What exactly does that mean? It means that no matter what occurs in our lives, Jesus will always be there. When we come to those places in life, we simply just have to have the conversation with the Lord. Dear Lord, please help me through it. When cancer takes away our loved ones, when a sudden car accident takes the life of a close friend or loved one, when we struggle through divorce, or our children go in a direction that hurts us, or we are caregivers of aging parents, we must know that God hurts right along with us. But he is also the amazing comforter in those times of sadness and grief. You can stay away from church, You can fail to read the Bible. You can say no to the Holy Spirit. You can even reject Christ's offer of salvation. But there is one agent and officer of God that you cannot put off. The angel of death will claim us all. When God sends him to write the end of life, you cannot push him away. You cannot say, come back tomorrow or next week. You're powerless against the death angel. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that face judgment. When the doctors and nurses cannot help you, Jesus is all that you need. You can have him on your side when you need him most. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He will be with us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's the king and the conqueror of death. So there's no fear for the Christian who has Jesus on their side. As Christians, we may have very little in this world, but we are rich in hope. And that hope is free for the asking. Jesus says, put your trust in me. He will forgive us for the past. He will help and guide us through our present life, and he will give us hope for the future. Peter tells us in the text that the choice of salvation is not optional, for he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Only Jesus can give us salvation. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Salvation comes only from God, and Jesus was God in the flesh. The salvation question is already settled. Peter said, we must go to Jesus Christ for the blessed assurance and security. You have the words of eternal life. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. You know, people tend to think that as Christians that we can't have a good time. I disagree. I love my life in Christ. He's what gets me through. He's who I turn to even before my husband, sorry, honey, my friends and family. My closest friends are Christians. Imperfect, sinful, caring, loving, and forgiving Christian friends. But we have a darn good time. We eat together, we drink together, with limits. We travel together, we cry together, we pray together, we help each other, we pray for each other, and we are accountable to each other. Let me say that it was Jesus Christ that led me to my second and final husband. Can I get an amen on that? Don't get me wrong, we've had our issues too. But who pulls us through is the Comforter himself, Jesus Christ. Rob and I will be celebrating our 10-year anniversary next Friday. The best part of this marriage is that Jesus is in the center of it. My heart is open to the love of Jesus Christ. I pray daily for him to fill my heart with his Spirit so that I can be okay as well as be a light to others. Jesus is all that we need. To the lost, he is the way. To the dead, he is the life. To the liar, he is the truth. To the prayer, he is the amen. To heaven, he is the firstborn. To the mighty, he is the almighty. To the soldier, he is the fortress. To time, he is the ancient of days. To the servant, he is the good master. To those at war, he is the peacemaker. To the sheep, he is the good shepherd. To the church, he's the chief bishop. To the baker, he is the bread of life. To the sick, he is the good physician. To the journalist, he is the good news. To the thirsty, he is the water of life. To the valley of death, he is the shadow. To the army of God, he is the captain of salvation. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the gardener, he is the true vine. To the hungry, he's the manna from heaven. To the sinner, he is the author of salvation. To the pitiful, he is the tender sympathizer. To the heavy laden, he's the burden bearer. To the builder, he is the chief cornerstone. To the world lost in sin, he is the Savior. To the alphabet, he's the Alpha and Omega. To the jury, he's the faithful and true witness. To the sky, he's the divider of day and night. To the farmer, he's the early and the latter rain. To the orphan child, he's the everlasting father. To those with expectancy, he is the anchor of hope. To the Mary Magdalene's, he's the friend of sinners. To the depraved and carnal man, he is the sanctifier. To the transgressor of the law, he is the counselor. To those in darkness, he is the light of the world. To the ugliness of sin, he is the beauty of holiness. To the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star. To the animal lover, he's the Lion of Judah. To the wayward traveler, he's the Good Samaritan. To the theologians, he's the author and finisher of our faith. To the historian, he's the beginning of the creation of God. To the lonely, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. To war, he is peace. To chaos, he is order. To crisis, he is the solution. To discouragement, he is hope. To solitude, he is company. To the poverty, he is rich. To weakness, he is power. To mourning, he is laughter. To ignorance, he is knowledge. Jesus is all that you need. He had no home, but promised believers a mansion. He had no bakery, but produced bread to feed 5,000. He had no pills or hospital, but yet he healed the sick. He had no money, yet he paid his friends' taxes. He attended no college, yet he taught not as the scribes, but as one having the authority holding a PhD. Jesus is all that you need. He was born in a borrowed stable. He was laid in a borrowed manger. He used as his pulpit a borrowed boat. He fed thousands with a borrowed lunch. He taught from a borrowed book. He slept in a borrowed bed. He rode as king on a borrowed donkey. He observed the Last Supper in a borrowed room. He was mocked as king in a borrowed robe. He was crucified on a borrowed cross. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, when the women went to the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away. Yes, Jesus is all that you need. Jesus rolled away the rock that sealed that tomb, and the Rock of Ages walked out. Jesus rose from the midst of the rock with all power in his hands. He has saving power, deliverance power, healing power, redeeming power, and Holy Ghost power in his hands. And because he has all power, he's all that we need. When we are hungry, he's our living bread. When we are poor, he's our unsearchable riches. When we're sad, he is our tidings of good joy. When we are in darkness, he is the light of the world. When we need advice, he's our counselor. When we're tired, he's our giver of rest. When we're sick, he's our doctor. When we're lonely, he's our friend. When we are weak, he is our strength. When we are on the mountaintop, he's our bright and morning star. When we are motherless, he will be our mother. And when we are fatherless, he will be our father. Jesus is all that we need. Amen.